All right, thank you, everyone. My name is Sarah Wokus. Better? Okay. My name is Sarah Wokus, and I work for an organization called the Environmental Law and Policy Center. We are a Chicago-based Midwest regional environmental organization. I am not a health wonk. I'm an energy wonk, so bear with me. Our organization was founded on the premise that environmental progress and economic progress can go hand in hand. And as a result, I spent a lot of time working on clean energy policy in particular, but policy, and I have a lot of business partners that work on that policy with me. So I've been asked today to talk about how business is addressing climate change. And I really want to focus mostly on what they're doing, but I also want to just briefly touch on the risk that they're realizing at the outset. And I'm not really going to focus on the clean energy businesses. That's an obvious ally in this whole fight for us. I really want to focus on the other businesses. So I'm not even going to spend some time. I had a slide up here, which I'll skip right over, about the health impacts of climate, because obviously Samantha did a fantastic job, and you all are health professionals, and you know that. So I really want to focus on a different part of risk, which is productivity. And, you know, obviously severe weather, supply chain interruptions, worker health affect businesses quite a bit. And we have a lot of good documentation on that. A newer area is this productivity risk, and that is productivity due to increased temperatures. And what we know is that recent studies have shown that the optimal temperature for productivity is somewhere between 55 and 59 degrees, and that as the temperature goes up, we lose productivity. So for every degree that the temperature goes up, we could lose up to 2% of productivity. And so we really, if we reach the climate levels that we think we might reach if we don't do anything to address climate change, we could be 20% less productive than we are today. And we'll have to adapt. And obviously some areas are going to be able to adapt better than others. And as a result, 77% of countries could be poorer than if climate change didn't occur. And obviously this is more affecting the African and Asian countries. And for companies that have outsourced a lot of their factory and agricultural and construction work and what have you, this is really a problem, because as that stuff becomes more expensive, obviously that affects their bottom line. But we're not immune to it either. The United States will see productivity go down as a result of temperatures, and some studies say that we could lose less than 1% of our GDP, but that's still a lot, and that affects the bottom line of business. So it's a very big risk to business. And so what are businesses doing to address this? Well, first, let's just see the areas that we are affecting climate change here. So this is obviously where we get all of our CO2 emissions, and business is involved in all of this, but I really want to focus on electricity and transportation, because those are the two biggest areas and the areas where business is really leading the way. All right, so the first one, and this one I actually am going to focus on the clean energy businesses. Energy innovation is really an area where business is leading. Certainly policy has a lot to do with driving demand for renewable energy and energy efficiency, but business is really doubling down. So in various areas like technology, demand response, actual efficiency of various technologies, business is leading the way. So a couple of examples. Tesla. Tesla is going to double the production of battery storage worldwide, the entire world, with their new factory that they're building in Nevada. And batteries really offer us a great way to maximize the use of clean energy technology throughout our grid, because it helps solve that intermittency issue we have with wind and solar. Clearly the wind doesn't shine all the time and the sun doesn't, well, other way around. The sun doesn't shine all the time and the wind doesn't blow all the time. In financing, this is really something that people kind of forget, but financing, business is really taking a big step. So Sun Edison, Solar City, Sungevity, those companies, they've pioneered this type of product called third-party ownership, where you don't have to buy solar panels to put on your roof. You can actually lease them or buy the production off the panels. And that has absolutely revolutionized the clean energy economy. And it's made it so much more accessible. Not everybody has money that they can put down for solar panels. So being able to just buy the production is really, really important. Community solar is another business-driven policy and kind of mechanism where if you don't have a roof and that can hold solar, and 80% of us do not have a roof suitable for solar, you can still participate in the solar market by buying a share of a larger offsite uh, uh, system. And community solar is really taking off throughout the nation and probably throughout the world. So smart grid, this is kind of like an amorphous term. It means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But essentially what it means is using our energy that we do produce a lot better. That is everything from a smart meter that can help regulate your demand to a smart thermostat that can pre-cool your house when electricity prices are low and then you won't even notice. And business is really the group that's really pushing this. And then finally, as I mentioned before, the technology improvements in the actual energy production. We're getting much more efficient when it comes to solar panels and wind turbines. You know, 10 years ago, we were barely scratching the surface here. Now, in the last couple of years, we've doubled the efficiency of solar panels and wind turbines. So, what is the rest of the world doing? The business world, that is. So they're really affecting their own behavior. And you cannot see this map in the back, but that's okay. My maps apparently got a little bit transparent here. So businesses are recognizing this risk, and they're doing a couple of things to really mitigate it. First, they're changing their own behavior, and then they're really getting involved in policy to change overall behavior. So some businesses are offsetting their electric use with regional renewable energy, and that's that first bucket right there. And while they can't get 100% renewable from their actual grid, but they buy what are called renewable energy credits. It's kind of like a carbon offset, and it allows them to count all of their electricity as green. And some are going even further, and they've said, you know, renewable energy credits and these offsets are great, but what we really want to do is have our electricity coming into our building or coming into our grid be renewable. And so we're going to actually contract for all of the output of a wind farm, all of the output of a solar farm, or we're going to put solar right on our roof, and we're really going to affect our own electricity usage. In Illinois, where I live and work, the only two wind farms that are built in the state in 2014-2015 were built because Microsoft and IKEA were buying the entire output of those two wind farms. So they're really pushing the envelope here. On energy efficiency, clearly the more efficient you make your own buildings, your own supply chains, and your own transportation, the better. Businesses are doubling down, and I've just given a couple of examples of the businesses that are doing this. And then finally, on the electricity side, a lot of businesses are getting into employee benefits by offering what are called group buys, where they will sign an exclusive contract with a solar company and provide a discount for residential systems for their employees. Okay, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to skip through this pretty quickly because I think this is pretty well known here, that on transportation, the ways where business is really pushing the envelope is on green fleets, workplace charging, and flex working. It makes economic sense for business. It also makes kind of societal sense for business. So the green fleets, it is cheaper now to get electric vehicles and it's cheaper to get natural gas vehicles. It makes sense, right? And a lot of fleets are changing over. UPS has 5,800 alternative fuel vehicles, and they want to get their fleet to their entire fleet to that level. Workplace charging, range anxiety is one of the reasons why electric vehicles have not been more widely adopted. So, and we spend a lot of time stuck in traffic. In fact, I think the average American spends 46 hours in traffic just in commute per year. That's a lot of wasted gas. That's a lot of CO2. That's a lot of mental health time stuck in traffic. Workplace charging, this doesn't necessarily help it. Flex working does, but workplace charging also takes away that range anxiety. Okay, so this is the last place where business is really pushing the envelope, and that is in helping organizations like mine, organizations like Sierra Club and NRDC and others, push for policies that will bring the rest of the world along with them. So renewable energy standards are really what is driving growth in renewable energy. Remember all those companies I said that were purchasing renewable energy? It's still, all of them combined, it still represents less than 0.5% of all the electricity that we use. Renewable energy standards, which are standards where electricity providers like utilities or other competitive suppliers have to get an increasing amount of their electricity from renewable sources, is driving more growth, but it still is only representative of about 3-4% of our electricity usage. Nonetheless, it is shifting the paradigm here. and businesses getting involved. They want that power. In fact, Facebook has specifically located their data center in Iowa because of Iowa's commitment to clean energy. All these other things are policies that business has gotten involved in. Obviously, appliance efficiency standards have made all of our TVs and our refrigerators and our washing machines more efficient. We use less electricity. Obviously, all those other things. But the big one that I want to mention is the Clean Power Plan. And I know that a lot of you have heard about this, and obviously we spent a lot of time talking about it. This is the one that's really going to shift us really into the next level. It's going to take 10 years or so until we really fully realize the benefits of the Clean Power Plan. But a lot of businesses want to reduce that regulatory risk, and so they're signing on in support. So all those companies that were listed before, the Dells of the world and the Intels of the world, are very supportive. But other things like Mars and Levi Strauss and what have you, manufacturers that say, we don't want to deal with the regulatory risk that climate change provides. We want some certainty, and the Clean Power Plan provides that. So the Clean Power Plan will help us reduce carbon emissions from our electricity sector by 30%. Doesn't really kick in until 2022, but so we have a couple years to plan. But I think that all of these companies have written letters to their governors and to their congressional leaders, telling them that this is the way they want to go and that they support full implementation of the Clean Power Plan. So that, did I run out of time?
Yeah, 1 minute.
Okay. I'll just end because I'll do question and answer on, yeah. So that's really how businesses involving themselves on mitigation for climate change. So.